All right, well, where we left off is recruiting top affiliates. And with the last bullet point here, some unique approaches. And actually, I want to get the microphone to Leo. Where's the mic?
Well, like everybody, I send the FedEx package. I've gone more offline now just because I think everybody's email is very simple to do. And the easier it is to do, the more competition you have. So I've now gone offline, but I read a post by Willie Crawford on a board, and he said he got 6 FedEx packages that week, and he suspected a lot of his friends in internet marketing got the same thing. First thing I'd say about affiliates is don't be blinded by the big guys. My number one affiliate you've probably never heard of. She's got 160,000 on her list.
What's his name?
Her name? Maria Gracia, getorganizednow.com.
That's Missy's top affiliate, too.
Is it? Okay, yeah, she's amazing. She puts me a classified on the top of her newsletter once a month, and I send her a big check every month. And I found her, I think I sent her a FedEx package. I spelled her last name wrong, and she didn't hold that against me. I spelled it Garcia instead of Gracia, so I sort of got lucky there. I follow up the FedEx with postcards and also lumpy mail. I've sent messages in a bottle. If I'm on your list and I notice you had a baby recently, you're probably going to get a baby bottle from me with a letter inside directing you to my affiliate program online. I'm a little different in that I personalize every affiliate's page. So when you hit my page, it'll say, "Welcome friends of Yannick Silver. This page is especially for you." And then when it gets down to the time to give the price, the regular price will be crossed out, and there's the special price for Yannick Silver's friends. So that's a little more work, but I found that's the most successful for me. I didn't spend a nickel last year on advertising. It was all affiliate-driven. So I really rely on that. I've been called pleasantly persistent. You know, not a pain in the ass, pleasantly persistent. You're probably going to hear from me once a month. Sometimes I'll do an email. Sometimes I'll send lumpy mail. The other lumpy mail thing I did was a bank bag. That did fairly well. I just bought the bank bags and put a stamp and a label on it and sent them off.
Well, let's maybe flip the coin around then. If somebody's approaching you to be their affiliate, I know you don't promote that much stuff, but what do you look at? I mean, how do they get their attention? What are you considering if you're going to promote other people's stuff?
You know, I'm like probably the only person in this industry that doesn't promote a lot of other people's stuff. And it's probably, well, I've had this discussion with you. I'm just honest about stuff. I try to be transparent. It's probably worked more against me than for me, because there tends to be, in any marketplace, especially internet marketing, it's like a close-knit group of people to promote. And kind of the quid pro pro is you promote their stuff, they promote your stuff. And what happens is, I have a lot of things that I don't believe in and lines that I draw that most other marketers don't, of things I won't promote, things I won't say, things I won't do. So that's why I don't like to promote other people's offers. But that works against me because there's no quid pro pro. So then when you want your product promoted, JVs, teleconference calls, you ain't got any favors to call in, right? And so it's just kind of the way the marketplace is. So for me, I honestly, Yannick, I've endorsed one or two things of yours. I sold your copywriting course, great course, because it's a great course. Not even because you were my friend, but that was part of it. But I wouldn't have promoted it if it wasn't just a great product, right? I promote Jim Edwards. I promoted Stephen Pierce. These are my really close friends and people I really trust. And I know they're not going to screw my people on the back. My concern is, the reason I don't endorse a lot of stuff is because I'm afraid of people getting screwed. The best thing I can say is you got to know who you're promoting to. In my case, if somebody came that had a great product and they're like, we're not going to promote anything on the back end, because that's my concern is and it was a one-shot deal or something, I might would go for it. I'm really not a good person to approach. I'm probably the worst person in the entire freaking industry to do that with.
I get approached all the time. And some of the stuff will stand out. Like, for instance, on 745, is a recent deal that I got FedEx, a box, and it had a little plush cow in there. And I thought it was cute, so I put it in here. But I'm not promoting it. I have just a lot of, I need to check out something pretty thoroughly before I'm going to promote it, because I have, hopefully a high degree of respect for my list that when I promote something and endorse it, that they actually do know that I care about them and that I want to make sure.
Why don't you weaken the force field?
Exactly. Thank you, Polly. Exactly. it's a chink in the force field. And, you know, I've gotten burned once or twice before where I thought everything checked out and then the person didn't deliver what they promised, and it makes me look really bad. So I'm very particular about what I promote. It's also sometimes it's about me being so prolific that I got my own stuff to promote and I don't have space to promote other people's stuff. And in that case, we have a little every once in a while newsletter that goes out so I can promote people, but not really, you know, it's not a full solo endorsement. But and then, I mean, to be honest, some of the stuff is also quid pro quo, like you said, Marlon, is, you know, they promoted my stuff before, so now they're coming back to me and it's like a favor exchange deal. But I, still, in that case, I'm still never compromising and promoting something that I think is bad. So I'm very thoroughly checking it out, and I suggest you guys do that too when you get into, and we'll talk about this, the Godfather position. Jerry, you could probably get approached all the time. Can you pass the microphone up to Jerry?
Well, yeah, I mean, I get approached by people in regards to promoting their materials and so forth. And, you know, the one thing that I've kind of mentioned to all of you is that I'm probably the newbie of the marketing, internet marketing out of all of you. So, I've never done much of the marketing stuff. That's one of the reasons that really got me interested in Yannick stuff, is I saw what he was doing by doing the marketing. And I was just thinking, I think I was just sharing with Todd here, is that, and I'll be honest with all of you, over the last 10 years, I believe I've left at least $30 million on the table because I didn't understand this stuff. So this is why just recently I've just started to understand some of it. At least I'm able to understand the terminology you guys were talking about. So when you say affiliate marketing, now I know what you're talking about at least. Doesn't mean I know how to do it, but at least I know what you're talking about. And so that's why just by studying some of the material that Yannick has assisted me just a little bit. I haven't done much, but just one of the ideas I got from Yannick will at least net me an extra $1 million over the next 36 months just from one of the little small ideas.
Thanks. People approach you, though, over the years? You've done probably offline stuff. Stands out?
Well, because you got to have a list in order to...
Well, somebody's...
I'm pretty sad. In other words, I hadn't really even properly developed a list. You guys understand this? I don't know how I've been able to do what I've been able to do, but somehow I've been able to do it. But so I haven't really done a whole bunch of that type of stuff.
Okay.
Really.
Anyone else gets approached a ton, and what makes people stand out for them?
But just like you, Yannick, I have to believe in it, whatever it is anyway. I mean, I have promoted some things, conference calls that I've done with them and so forth, or my interviews that I do. You know, I'm only going to interview the people that I really want to drive my audience to their website.
Mm-hmm.
Or else, why am I going to interview them?
Right.
So they have to be able to give value, and they have to be beneficial to my audience.
Right.
So
people approach me all the time. They're like, yeah, I'll give you 100% of my $97 product or whatever. I'm like, okay, yeah, and then what's the back end? Like, well, it's a $5,000, blah, 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 and you don't get anything of that. I'm like, yeah, okay, bye.
So in terms of things that stick out to me is when somebody knows my posse, you know, and I think this is what Marlon was sort of hinting at, is that in internet marketing, you know, it's really a gang mentality. You know, there's the blues and the reds and the sharks and the jets and all that. And if you're coming to me with a short sale product, you better, exactly right, we'll start breaking it down up there. You better at least know who's in my posse who already does short sale products, so you can at least speak intelligently about why I should consider you. Otherwise, the mere fact that you say short selling or quick turning, you've already quickly turned me off because I have three people in my posse who are in that. So you have to know kind of what you bring to the table, what makes you original. Know that you're managing a relationship when you're approaching somebody. They probably have a pre-existing relationship with somebody who can do what you're offering as well as you can. So how are you going to make it so that you're cognizant and helping me manage that relationship, giving me a good reason why? So that's what I wanted to add.
The other thing I'll add to that is a lot of people think that there's, especially just in internet marketing world, that's like the boys network or it's like a closed loop deal. I mean, Leo broke in with some unique stuff. And the biggest way that I've got a lot of my endorsement partners is really networking, which for me typically means hanging out at the bar and drinking with those guys. And it's, I mean, that works for me, and I'm not going out there. I mean, some of you guys are probably much better networkers than I am. I'm just really being who I am. And it's not like being this fake person. Hey, hi, what can I do for you? And, you know, that, I mean, that doesn't work for me. It's just my regular. Yeah, it was what I was doing last night. Yeah, so, you know, a lot of it's going out into wherever your industry is and then meeting people face to face. I heard someone actually really interesting that did an interview on Digital Moses, which is more for like CPM stuff. And the guy's like, I'm never doing a deal with somebody unless I've sat down at the bar with them and got drunk with them. I thought that was funny. Bravo back there.
On your seminars, you've managed to get good JV action.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that you're asking to promote the seminars to, they've got other big tickets to promote, other seminars to promote. They probably got their own seminars. And so what did you do anything out of the ordinary in that regard?
Yeah, and I'm going to cover some of it. We, like, for instance, actually, that brings it up to this thing right here. 747 is a little cool secret that we did for some top partners, and I did this for my copywriting course, where all my best partners would get, I registered a domain name for them. So I went out and registered like 30 different domain names, just generic, you know, naked links. So somebody is Ultimate Copy Workshop, somebody else is internetcopyworkshop.com, somebody else is whatever, I don't know. You remember what yours is, Marlon? You probably don't remember. I don't know what.
Ugliest guy in marketing that I know, but I still like .com.
So instead of a regular affiliate link or letting them redirect it or whatever, you know, people just have this aversion to clicking on affiliate links. So I made it real easy for our top affiliates to go out and promote this stuff. If they're on a call, if they're speaking somewhere, if they're wherever, it's a lot easier for them to say, yeah, well, check out, you know, ultimatediscountdomains.com, which is my domain deal. You know, go check out ultimatecopyworkshop.com instead of them not getting commission for it and not getting any kind of credit for it. So that's one thing I did, which is pretty cool that you guys might want to learn about. Oh, by the way, just a quick nuts and bolts on how that's done is that in here? I don't think it's in here. But really easy, like I use 000 domains, or you can use GoDaddy or whatever you want. Most of them have this thing where you can actually set up redirects. So you don't have to have all these sites hosted. So I got, like, you know, all these URLs I bought. I don't want to host them all and pay for all the stuff. I just copy in whatever their affiliate link is, and then it'll automatically forward to that. So it's real simple in the control panel. All right, so here's a little advanced secret, dead-end links. You can go to makeyournamestick.com. Register domain with the sole purpose of creating custom links for your top partners. So I registered megaresellrights.com. And what we did is we created customized links for the partners. And here's what it looked like. So instead of this ugly link like this, which is, here's the tracking, by the way, even if it had like this, it'd still be somewhat ugly. We made it first 50.megaresellrights. Remember when I told you guys about selling the 50 resale rights program? And all of these are words that actually make sense. Now, you know, if I was doing it again today, I would do register individual domains for people. And then you want to set up the specific pages for them, and you can do it in Make Your Name Stick, and you can do it in most any other domain registrar thing. Some of them let you do the subdomain thing, so you only got to register one domain. Now, here's what happens if a customer goes to megaresellrights.com with cutting off that first 50 or whatever it is. Hey, you know, you just hit megaresellrights.com, your source for the biggest, boldest, most profitable resale rights on the net. And you know, it looks like you made a slight mistake, but it's no problem. Just enter the complete address of the site who referred you to, and it should look something like this. Something.megaresellrights.com. Double check your link so it can send you to the right place. So now, you know, the affiliate knows that they're not getting screwed. Here's the next generation of what I did with this with the Kennedy program, was that, like Leo said, he sets up customized pages. I think that's pretty easy and doable when you got a small affiliate program like we do with the Kennedy guys. You have 150 some people in there. So this is all customized. A quick note from Yannick Silver, the picture's customized. The affiliate can customize this top box here. Message from Dan Kennedy, special free offer for friends of Yannick Silver. And then it's pretty much the same letter. What Leo does was even better, is like it's a cross out, right? This regular price, but for friends of, I like that better. So this is cool, but this is a free offer, so we can't really cross out too much of it, but maybe. Once again, the exact same thing. We use a page, a dead end page. And Now we made the links. This one, we registered dk3monthspecial.com, and it's dk3monthspecial.com/trial/freebie/whatever. It's not the person's name, but an actual word that makes sense. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. Here's how the way that broke down. We're selling a 3-month free trial for $5.95, shipping and handling, very compelling offer. So it's a free 3-month trial to the newsletter. We only get their credit card for $5.95, which costs us like $30 to fulfill over those 3 months. Including postage, maybe it was like $25. Affiliates get a residual. So what we did, because there's no money involved, they get a residual after month 3. So at month 4, they get a residual. And then, but we did try and do to make sure that they could get some money up front was on the thank you page, there was a special offer for two things. It was like the best of Dan Kennedy and something else, so they can make some money up front. And once again, this is a qualified affiliate program only. We made people qualify for it, or people in our own little circle that we knew, and that's how we grew, you know, a very small program into a pretty large moneymaker for Dan and Bill. And, you know, that's what I would suggest to you, too, especially if you're in a, like, if I was starting all over again, I may or may not do a whole complete wide open affiliate program. Would you do it, Marlon?
Yeah, in the early days, Yannick, I mean, you got huge, massive affiliate action, right, as did I. But it depends on what environment are you starting. If you were starting today, would you? That's a really good question, because if you're just promoting something out there broad, it's really hard to get the big super affiliates to hop on board with it. It is hard. Let me say something about this. If this is an interesting thing, this is how the affiliate market's changed. Alex Mendozian is planning his December launch for his Teleseminar Secrets program, right? He's already laid out the whole entire launch plan with his affiliate manager. He has an affiliate manager completely in charge of the launch, and they're promoting it, setting up the launch from now all the way through December, and it's only 12 affiliates. 12 affiliates, and they're spending 6 months in the launch sequence with only 12 super affiliates. That's amazing. Right? I mean, that's the way it was 3 years ago. So I think in the current environment, if you really want super affiliates to promote something, I think you got to have it closed. If you want something promoted really broad, I think you leave it open.
So now here's what we've done. 50% stick rate. Is there actually pretty big differences by source? Online only was like 40. Some people were at 35% stick. Direct mail, offline, they're like 60% stick rate. I'm talking about sticking after that, you know, the free 3 months to get paid. What we added, what Alex mentioned, we added an ongoing email course. So as soon as you signed up for it, you got this email, which promoted all kinds of other Dan Kennedy products. And now the affiliates get 10% on all that stuff. We found that a specific event worked really good as a good reason why for this gift. So we're, you know, if any of you study my copywriting stuff, I really focus a lot on reason why. And so like we did, So like we did this, the Valentine's Day promo. I don't know why they picked the suit picture again. And this is a cute little flash animation, almost like the I Love Lucy type thing. Happy Valentine's Day. And then here's my gift to you. And we registered freegift.com or free, I forgot what it is. We've registered some domain name, and then it says like freegiftforyou.com from Yannick. So something like that, and everyone got from whatever. So here's the Valentine's Day promo that we did. I think you guys saw before, a couple pages back, where I showed you that fact, or the FedEx, that was that silver platter FedEx. So that's the letter we used. We FedExed them. We emailed affiliates. We phoned affiliates. We had that contest to an incentive to participate. We had offline, online options for each affiliate, made it completely hands off for them. We had a deal where, you can see here, we actually would send out postcards for the affiliates for X number of their database for them, and it would be yourvalentinesgift.com/from Yannick, from Paul, from whoever was promoting it. And they handled everything, complete done for them. Now, some affiliates did ask, you know, they're a little bit sketchy about what are we going to do with your database or their database afterwards. And you know, we had to assure them that we were actually using a bonded mailhouse, and we never touched the mailing list if they didn't want us to. They could send it directly to the mailhouse. But most of them didn't care. They trusted us. You still have the mic?
And another quick question. How many of the people that actually signed up for this trial offer actually took the upsell? Do you know?
That I don't know. I think it was, I mean, just off the top of my head, it might be a wrong number, but I'm thinking about 10%. I don't think it was very high. Because I think you can make, and we'll talk about increasing transaction value later on today, but there's definite changes depending on what upsell you put out for them. And like I've seen that with instant sales letters, we put out one thing, it wasn't as great of an upsell, we put out something else that's much greater.
Yeah. Wasn't the upsell on this thing the Best of Kennedy and also the Renegade Millionaire?
No, it was Best of Kennedy and something else. Okay. It wasn't Renegade Millionaire. Was it? Wealth Attraction Tapes, yeah. All right, here's another advanced secret for affiliates. I told you guys about this, the naked link, so buy exclusive domains for your partners to use. This is, not many people know about this. MyFICO.com is actually Susie Orman's affiliate link. It's a little crazy, right? I mean, imagine all that exposure she has, and she'll say, okay, well, go to MyFICO.com to check your credit score. Crazy. I mean, I don't know this for a complete fact, but I heard it from someone on the inside, so I'm pretty sure that is the case. But even if it wasn't the case, I mean, how awesome would that be to, you can work those deals with someone who had some kind of media exposure and give them a naked affiliate link. And then, you know, because if it's like, I don't know, like for some reason, if you're promoting somebody else's stuff, I've seen people like in forums and things like that, you know, this isn't an affiliate link, like all, you know, like scared to even mention that it's an affiliate link. This gets away from that. I mean, it's so cool. So that's myfoco.com. There's Susie Orman. Advanced secret number three is viral ebooks. You were talking about, yeah, Clifford, give the microphone back that way, please.
It's just a quick tip for the registering domains for your partners is use a frame, affiliate link, like Jim Weber's affiliate link cloaker, and have the page framed. Then, because if you just do a redirect on the server for the domain, the domain will change. But if you have it in a frame, that stays, it'll stay up there, and it doesn't look like you've changed page at all.
Okay, that's a good tip. Also, some control panels let you select if it'll show the link or not.
Oh, does it? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so you registered all these domains for some of your top partners. Let's say Marlon's like, I'm not promoting this. So I'm like, yank, we take that domain, give it to somebody else. And you have control over it. All right, viral ebooks. So this is another under the radar way of getting people's affiliate links out there. I love this because it's like content that pays affiliates. A lot of affiliates are looking for really good content to throw out to their list, makes them look good, and at the same time makes you money. But the thing is, the caveat is it's got to be sold just like an info product. So you see here, there's a sales letter for Hidden Psychological Secrets to Maximum Sales. And we actually got a sales letter that sells this thing. And we give this sales letter template to affiliates that they can put up and let people download it from their site. Now, Jim and I had some crack staff of I don't know what it was, either Indian or Pakistani or some kind of programmers. We had create this thing, viral ebook creator. It's a very cool deal. We were actually originally going to sell it out to other publishers, and we just kind of realized that it was so buggy and crazy that we'd be on the hook for a lot of customer service, so we've only used it for ourselves. But, you know, I think you could probably have this made somewhat cheaply now. It costs us two different programmers and a lot of money to have this thing made. It's pretty cool. So what our affiliates do is they go to this site, and all they do is enter in their ID number for Surefire Marketing, their name, and their website. And out comes a little, I don't have one, out comes a little PDF. Everything in there, all the links are then their affiliate links for Surefire Marketing, my stuff. Then also on the front page it says brought to you by, so-and-so, and have that name that they just inserted here. And then for, you know, check out our website or something like that, and it'll have their website. Now, I did that because I think people are twice as likely to distribute the viral content if they get their own website out there too. So on top of all my affiliate links that are inside the ebook, you guys can go to viralebookcreator.com and check it out for yourself. It's pretty slick. It's a very cool little on the fly. So it takes, what we do is we upload a Microsoft Word template and on the fly it converts it to this PDF. There's other tools like Viral PDF, which does somewhat the same thing, but the person that brands it has to download a software application, which I didn't like as much. Anyone else done anything with viral ebooks for affiliates?
I did something similar. I did it with the Viral PDF Creator software, which I not 100 bucks. I don't know what it is, but like you said, I think it's only works on Windows and everything. But what we did to kind of circumvent that, so it was easier for people to understand, is we just did a Camtasia video. So we made it a step one, step two, step three process at our affiliate. The link is in there, I think, for our affiliate page or whatever. So if you guys can go see it, but we did a little. Here's the video. Here's the here's you downloading it to your computer. Here's you opening it up. Here's the three fields you have to enter. Here your affiliate ID goes here. Your name goes here. We do the same brought to you by type thing. Here's the your website. Here's the thing you click. Here's how it saves it. Here. So we walk them through the process of it. And we've been doing that for maybe about a year and a half now. We've only had one person ever come to us and say they couldn't get it to work. And I look on Google every now and then. I find it in the weirdest places sometimes.
Yeah,
it gets out there.
They love it because it's great content, and then it pays them. And then don't underestimate this little field, the brought to you by. That's exactly what it was. We wrote brought to you by. Unusual yet high traffic online promotion secret number one. I've only shared this before with my Secret Society members. Very cool backdoor way of selling ebooks on Amazon. Not that many people know about this. So you want to use a company called lightningsource.com. There may be others, I don't know. This is the one I've used. You need an ISBN number for your ebook, which is a standard thing if you're in the book publishing world. It's whatever that stands for, international standard, blah, blah, blah. Who the hell knows? But R.R. Bowker is where you go, Bowker.com. And then there's a big tip here on titles. Well, let me just explain to you what happens. Lightning Source is like a print-on-demand publisher. They either do print-on-demand offline stuff, like they'll create books for you one time, or as an ebook, all you do is you upload your file to them. They take care of everything to get it over to Amazon, and I think it's like, I don't remember what the, I think they pay you 50% of what Amazon pays you. I don't remember what it is, but I'll show you why I use it. So, and here's a quick cool tip on titles is, so Amazon's really a search engine, right? People will go there looking for stuff to buy. And if you carefully craft your title and subtitle, you're going to get on a whole lot more searches. So originally, our thing is 33 Days Online Profits, a step-by-step roadmap for making real money online, no matter what product or service you sell, right? Well, I realized that we weren't getting that great of traffic on, or we were getting some sales on Amazon. But then I'm like, well, or I don't know if it was Jim who thought of this or not, probably Jim. And we said, okay, well, let's add all the keywords we can think of, but still make it sound, you know, like it makes sense. So powerful internet marketing strategy tips and website promotion secrets for any product or service you sell. So it's pretty good. I don't know if there's a limit on the subhead or not. But so you go to Lightning Source, you get your ISBN number, upload it. You have to buy it typically in a block of 10. So it gives you some, so you got more ISBN numbers to use and, you know, whatever this dumb, it's $18.27. I don't care. We get, I don't know, like $1,000 a month from Lightning Source. Sometimes it's $1,300, sometimes it's $800. I'm completely lazy and not doing much with it, but I'll show you what I really think you can really excel at this.
Just a quick tip for Amazon. The reason that we decided to go with hearyourbook.com to do our recording is that Amazon sent us a letter saying that they were going to be, they're looking for audio ebooks. They're going to start promoting those. They're getting into everything else.
Which service?
I'm sorry?
Which service did you say you went with?
Hearyourbook.com.
Hearyourbook.com.
Yeah. So that's, you know, audio ebooks, I mean, that's just awesome, you know?
That would be cool too.
On Amazon. That's some good publicity.
Hearyourbook, excellent. So here's what I want to just show you guys real fast. So here's one of our keywords, internet marketing. We come up number two on this, we searched for this, what they ultimately chose. Number four in this other ranking. You know, Amazon's just another type of search engine you can manipulate, and if I felt like figuring it out more, I'm sure I could get even higher for other things. But here's some other cool stuff you can do, another backdoor to Amazon. some more stuff on this is you manage reviews, because obviously somebody can just post up, you know, a half star or no star review and just completely rip you a new one. So you got to pay attention to the reviews there. And what I would do when we had a bad review on 33 days, we enlisted the help of people who, you know, our customers who really liked it, and asked them to go there and leave a review. Big breakthrough. Here's the biggest breakthrough on this backdoor ebook strategy. I think this is so cool. One, you're typically getting virgin buyers. They're not typically going to find you in most other ways of distribution. All right, so you're getting people you don't normally reach. I think this is a huge lead generator for you. So what I would do if I really wanted to exploit this even more, so let's say you're doing real estate stuff, and real estate breaks into a whole bunch of little subtopics, and I would have a little lead generating ebook on every little subtopic. Okay, there's a ton of ebooks and regular books on the big ideas in real estate, you know, how to flip houses or whatever. But the really tiny ideas of, I don't know, how to flip million-dollar plus houses or something like that, right? So sub-niche of the niche, because nobody else would really have that. And the ebooks will let you have a whole bunch of different topics, and you're going to buy a block of 10 ISBN numbers anyway. So use a whole bunch of them and use them all as lead generators. And inside the ebook, you have stuff in there to grow your mailing list. So like I said, multiple front ends. And customers come to Amazon ready to buy. I think it's a huge, huge strategy for somebody to exploit in their niche, done correctly. Here's the other thing you can do on Amazon is you can sell your own books, you can sell your own DVDs and videos. You're not allowed to sell CD-ROMs. I don't know if it's changed. I put a little asterisk on there though. The way I've got around this is we sell a little instant sales letter CD-ROM. I didn't bring a copy with me, but we call it a book on CD-ROM. You're allowed to sell books on CD-ROM, which is a cool way of getting around it. You earn 55% commission, you need an ISBN number again, so it's the same kind of deal. Amazon sends you order confirmations and then you deliver to their warehouse, so they take care of it for you. Now here's some of the ways that I've got additional sales is they have something called So You'd Like To, and I created a little, it's a list called So You'd Like To Create a Money-Making Sales Letter. And inside that list, it's almost like a recommendation, so you're recommending your top products, but it's not just a list. They have something called List Mania, I'll show you in a second, which is the other thing that you would do. And so anytime somebody is searching for specific works, like these are, like Ultimate Sales Letters is a big seller, and that's in my So You'd Like To list, because it actually is really, really good. But when that comes up, then also So You'd Like, your So You'd Like To pops up there. List Mania is another thing that will show up sometimes on your right-hand side, on the left-hand side of different searches. And a list mania is just a list. It's just a list of recommendations. So that's all it is. It's nothing else. It's not like describing, like when I wrote about, when I do So You'd Like To, it talks about the product and then I talk about why it's good. And you talk about the product, talk about why it's good. List mania is just list. And the same thing again, the top ones show up as graphics. Now, a cool way of exploiting this is you piggyback on bestsellers. But if you look on, you know, whatever's a bestseller, it could be Da Vinci Code, right? So somebody has in their List Mania Da Vinci Code and then has other stuff. And I have in here a cool example of somebody doing this with 773. This is a So You'd Like To type deal. And they were exploiting, I can't remember which, where I found, what is it? No. It wasn't that one. It was like something else, like really, really kind of odd. It was like the South Beach Diet or something like that. And it showed up there. And now look at this whole, So You'd Like To. It's a whole entire, I mean, look at all this guy wrote. And really, it's really directed really at just one product. I mean, he talks about a couple other products, but it's really towards, it's like a review of this one particular product, which leads him to page 777, which is it's like one of these hypnosis CDs that I had up here. So it's selling that. I thought it was pretty brilliant. I've never seen it. It was almost like a sales letter, as a So You'd Like To, leading them towards that one product. So I thought that was very cool. Anyone use Amazon? Anyone have some insight on that?
I've been using Amazon for quite a while, and they have a couple of different programs. The Marketplace and Z Shops is where most people start, but the difference with the Advantage program is that you're sending Amazon your products for them to fulfill directly.
Right.
And the big advantage with the Advantage program is that although they take a lot more commission, they promote the your products very heavily in their search engines. They optimize all your keywords. And so what we found was that our sales were far higher with the Advantage program, even with the higher commission, than the Z Shops or Marketplace.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, if you're using this stuff to sell on Amazon, you want to have something in there to capture names, like in the instant sales letter CD-ROM, the first page that comes up is driving them to a web page to sign up for our list.
Amazon has a hot program for authors right now, and I don't remember the name of it, but basically it's an author's blog that you can go
like
in there and put information.
Something.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, a blog. But when someone buys your product, the next time they go back to Amazon, your message will be at the top of their screen, so you can send them to other products. It's a hot way to convert people from Amazon.
That's pretty cool, yeah, so something to check out. Thanks, Don. All right, next one is eBay. It's an unusual yet high traffic online promotion secret number two for information products. I don't do anything with eBay, so I don't have much insight for you here, but I definitely know buyers are ready to buy when they come here. It becomes another distribution source for you, and just checking it out, it's really interesting. I mean, this guy's a power seller. He's selling fly fishing basics. Let's see, I got some more stuff in your manual on, you know, just copies of his auctions. Here's another guy, the next page over. This is how to make strong wooden toys. And I really think this is public domain. So this is copyright 1945. I'm not 100% sure, but I bet it is. It's a book on CD-ROM. So that's the next pages are some descriptions. You know, next couple pages are some eBay auctions. You want to talk about eBay real fast, Andrew, since you got the microphone close to you, and then I'll give it to Mike Long. And just a reminder, we only have till 6 p.m. tonight, Mike.
eBay recently announced that they process more searches per day on average than Google. So just think about that.
I thought that was an amazing fact when you told me that.
Yeah, it's a startling figure. Now, when you add to that the fact that searches on eBay.com are for people that are buying, that makes it even more amazing. I could talk for weeks about eBay, but basically, a couple of big things. eBay is not just for selling products. eBay has massive, massive leverage with the search engines, not only with organic, but they're by far Google's biggest customer and overture for pay-per-click. They spend millions on pay-per-click. And they also have a very, very high influence on the organic search engines too. So even if you never sell any product or service, there are categories for services too on eBay now. Even if you never sell anything, it doesn't matter, because eBay is probably the lowest cost lead generation tool that I'm aware of, and that I think very, very few internet marketers are using. So it's an incredibly valuable resource.
Remember your talk yesterday about how you went to, I think I told the Fordham, but how you went to eBay Live and now you're selling it on eBay.
Well, it's just one example. I was at the annual conference last week or the week before, attending the keynote speech. And I thought, well, you know, there's bound to be a lot of people here, a lot of people that weren't able to come, so I jotted down the notes from the keynote speech, put it into an ebook that evening, and you know, did a little sales letter. Long copy sells on eBay just as it does anywhere else, and that ebook has not only has it been selling like hotcakes. I mean, I forget how many, but I was amazed at how many I've sold.
What's, can we pull it
you
up?
Can bring it
fast?
Up, yeah, sure.
And now, what category is it? I thought I found that fascinating.
There is a category for how-to type products on eBay's constantly adding new categories, and eBay's constantly adding more stores and different areas. Basically, their model now is stores within stores. So their latest one is eBay Express, which they've got a huge advertising campaign coming up.
All right,
that's the little ebook. So the thing is, I'm developing a product right now, which is a monthly continuity program for advanced power sellers. So every one of these, not only did I make money, but every one of these ebooks that I've sold is a, you know,
now, would you
very inexpensive lead.
Here's the categories, everything else, and then information products. Is that where you recommend people?
Yeah, within the information products, there are various subcategories. But the other thing is that a lot of people list within eBay in just the wrong categories. And there are various, you know, talk to me afterwards, there are various research tools that we can use that will identify specific the categories that are the most effective. So there's no guesswork to it. If you know how to work the system, you can actually identify which categories for sure.
And part of your sales letter, this is like instead of testimonials, you got the feedback.
Just one other little thing, you know, I just want to emphasize the point that eBay is this tremendous resource for lead generation that, you know, I guess very, very few people are using at the moment.
Give it to Clifford if you could.
My most profitable lists and products I've done through eBay. My way is give a small low price product, but you'd normally price it like $40-$50, and I price mine at like $20, and I really over deliver on the front end and then go for the big price product, which is just under $500 on the back end.
How do you follow up on them after that?
Just with email, and I get almost 20% just with email. And
that's awesome.
And a couple of tips. I get rid of the power seller logo. You can turn it off because people think you're just a big corporation and you're not that part of that community.
Oh.
Another thing to do is re-register a new name once you get to about 500, 600, 700. So you're just the little guy.
You found that works better than people seeing a ton of feedback and
Well, it's good to have some feedback, but you don't want to come across as a corporation. I'm just switching the power seller thing. I increased by about 50% my response.
Wow, interesting.
Now you'd have to test this yourself, but I recommend you do that. Also, as far as I'm aware, you can build a list from the page, as long as when they click on the link and you send them to an opt-in form, that you'll get it. You say this is to give you more information about the product. I believe eBay allows you to do that. Yeah, so you can do that. Yeah. You see. Now, I haven't been doing that, and it's stupid because I should be, but yeah, you can do that.
I was doing about 50 to 60% of my sales on eBay at full price, all that. But here's how you capture emails for your customers. You can actually do the PayPal IPN. So when they pay you through PayPal, you can capture their name and email address. And what I would do is I would set that up in an autoresponder. It would automatically email the autoresponder and sign them up. But the trick was, I was like, okay, the email would go out and say, you know, just want to make sure that you knew how to download your product and everything else. Register for this free gift, or to get your bonuses, you need to go here, or send them to the download page. And on the download page, name, email address, then send them in. That's what I did. So,
yeah, one other thing I do, I don't know how many people are doing, I do an upsell right from, if they pay with PayPal, PayPal sends them an invoice when they win the auction, and you can customize that message. And I do the upsell right there. I say, hey, add another $10 and I'll send you this thing here too.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah, I've got a technique I use to help sell ebooks on eBay.
Do you have any auctions up right now?
Sorry?
You have anything up right now?
Do I have anything? It doesn't matter.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. So here's the thing. I sell my speeding ticket book, right? And I have an opt-in page, and you know, people go through the series. And after a couple of weeks, if they haven't bought the speeding ticket book,
okay,
they're generally not
going
to buy the speeding ticket book because usually there's some kind of a sense of urgency. So what I did was I added a message into my autoresponder series, you know, sometime out, and it may vary for every person. But that autoresponder says, hey, I'm running a test on eBay. I put my book up for auction. It's got a starting price of like $9. You know, click here, and the link is /eBay test. And so when they click on that link, they get redirected to an auction for the book, and they can buy the book. You know, it's an auction, so whatever price the book goes at, but it's gone anywhere from, you know, $10 or $11 up to like $28 something, and the book sells for $29. But then the neat thing is, You'll have multiple bidders, so then you can do a second chance and go back to all those multiple bidders. So I might sell like 4 or 5 copies of the book, and these are the people that were never, you know, I'd given up on them. They hadn't bought the book. And just a nice, easy way to capture more sales from.
But the other thing you forgot to mention, I'll call you on it, is that you're going through eBay's affiliate program, right?
Yeah, there's that too.
All right, Mr. Long. and keep it somewhat brief, please.
Yeah, I'll try to keep it brief. Okay, at the everything that was said was pretty good stuff, and I mean really good stuff actually. And I run a lot of auctions on eBay. It was kind of the first thing that I did.
Like
100,000. But I mean, a lot of them were Magic cards and stuff like that, individual auctions. Anyway, so I sold like a lot of like little auctions, and I've also sold like price points as high as like $10,000 on like collections that I made up just with a long form sales letter and stuff. So, you know, at the high level, anything that you can do in direct response marketing, you know, in info marketing, you can do on eBay, and that's your edge. I mean, that's kind of strategically speaking. Reaching in, I mean, what everyone said here, all the techniques and stuff like that, pretty much fell under, you know, are you building a list? You know, how are you monetizing that list? Are you using long form sales letters? Are you, you know, following up with an autoresponder series? Yannick, for instance, just as a quick aside, Yannick realized that I was mailing out hundreds, sometimes thousands of auctions in a week, and he realized that not only was I not sending a stick letter. You know, I was sending like a little card that was like, yeah, please give me feedback or whatever. And he's like, well, gee whiz, why don't you, you know, start trying to sell your eBay, you know, info product just directly.
Not your eBay, your Magic.
Not my info, sorry, my Magic, yeah, Magic. Obviously. This is all Magic.
Magic is
Gathering.
Really,
this is a niche product.
Cool game for geeks.
It's a cool game for geeks, just like you, Yannick. We don't let him play.
No, I figured what you was.
But anyway, so I'll send out like an auction that's like, you know, a Magic card or whatever, and it's, you know, sells for $3. And what we started doing was doing a scan of me writing like a real short personal letter, like, hey, thanks for buying my auction. I really appreciate it. I created this free bonus for you. If you go to the site, you can download a free trial of it. It's MTG Secrets or whatever. And they click on the link and it gives them like a 15-day free trial. And we were getting, it's a $47 info product, and we were getting, I want to say like 20%
You got that link. Candy? Do you know what it is?
I don't remember what All it right. was. I'll try to get Yannick a copy of my sales letter that I used to do. I did a full long form sales letter for all of my auctions, video marketing.
And then, so you sold the info product on the back end when somebody
on the back end, absolutely. I built a list of about 20,000 people. I built a 10,000 person list, lost it, and then built another 10,000 person list on eBay. And that was all buyers. And they're great. It's true. Like when you get someone from eBay, start hammering them with offers, start hitting them because they're buyers. They're buyers in a buying state.
You weren't selling info products directly. It was almost like as a back
no,
end,
I wasn't,
back
and
because
people,
they were really excited for the particular product. These little individual
and I think it's
cards.
A great way to go on eBay. Most people are looking to eBay. Like there have been some people that have had some real good lead generation success directly to their info products. The W Dating guys for years and years sold on eBay. They probably still do. They just actually sell their ebook. And have built a bigger list doing that. But I think that there's also a lot of opportunity in finding something like a knife that you can sell. Like again, so it's info marketing. What are the things that we can do that cost, you know, zero or, you know, just a little bit of our time and can be used?
Sell the Israeli fighting, kill you combat secrets.
You can kill them. You can sell them that. You can kill people with that. So the point is, like for Magic, you know, we don't just sell you a Magic card. See, everyone else is selling you just Magic cards, but we're selling you Magic cards plus a Magic video bonus that then takes you, you know, down the line to get to MTG Secrets. So if you're selling like a knife, it could be, you know, here's your, you know, how to use your knife PDF. I really recommend taking a look at video marketing. Camtasia is, I think, far and away was our number one secret weapon on eBay for years and years and years and years. Putting
you use Camtasia in eBay?
Yeah, in the auctions.
And what was it of?
Inside of the sales letter. So I would have like a 40, like by the end, a 40-page sales letter. Testimonials, like, you know, the whole thing, little case studies from people and so forth. I mean, you can do it. It's just HTML. And you know, we'd have like video boxes, like, so for Magic, you know, you could click on a video and actually see us teaching a technique with a secret deck, and ooh, isn't that exciting? And but again, you know, I mean, we're used to this stuff, or a lot of people are used to this stuff from online marketing and just, you know, whatever. But you know, these people are like, I mean, I sent the CEO of XM Radio like a little Camtasia, and he was like, oh my gosh, what is that? It's so amazing. You're such a genius. He was. I mean, it's really funny. I mean, again, you know, people don't know these things. Also, really critical with Camtasia, two things that you're going to want to strongly consider doing inside of your auction if you're going to use Camtasia. One is when you make your movies, go ahead and either yourself or have your programmer open up your HTML file for your Camtasia. Hopefully everyone here knows Camtasia. I'm sure Yonks taught if you don't know it. But if you want to open up, you know, this is on film, so hopefully, you open up the HTML file, and there's a little space at the bottom if you use Dreamweaver or whatever, basically that you can just put stuff in there, like a link or something like that, like, or, oh, I don't know, like, you know, a name squeeze or something like that. I've gotten several thousand people on my list that way. So you send them to an auction, they get to that page, they click on a link or whatever, they're watching this movie, and as they're watching the movie, there's like a little name squeeze box, like, hey, if you want more of this, you know, name and email address. Also, you're gonna want to consider.
It's not part of the video, it's right below it, right?
It's below, yeah, so they're watching the video and right below the video in as a part of the HTML window, and of course, most people here have seen a Camtasia. You can do that, and you could just do a click here to, you know, whatever. I mean, if you want to redirect them, and then you also want to consider doing a redirect at the end of that auction, so you can do a little setting in Camtasia that meta redirects at the end of the thing. And I always send them to a name squeeze page at the end of that. Got a lot of people that way. I agree with Andrew. Andrew, it's a terrific idea. You're not supposed to just slap a name squeeze right in the center of your auction, but what you can do, and what we made a big deal about doing, was trying to drive people to our About Me page, which is another way we can name squeeze. So the bottom line is, this was my system, was use all these sneaky tricks, including selling a lot of cheap stuff really quick and efficiently, and I outsourced all this. I mean, I built one time just for fun, I built a thousand, like I took a new account from absolute zero to 1,000 in less than 30 days, and just with, you know, just one employee, and I never touched an auction. And it's, I mean, but again, this is info marketing. Outsourcing is a part of info marketing. And so to wrap things up. Oh, and then finally, this is obviously the big thing. It's a very much self-perpetuating, because the bigger you build your list, obviously you send your list to your auctions. So it's more social proof. I mean, it's just great. Yeah, I mean, it pushes up your auctions. It's more social proof. It's just more is more is more. I mean, you need to be a little bit innovative, you know. But, you know, bonusing people is easy. I mean, coming up, how hard is it to make a Word document that has a link to a movie saying, oh, and then turn it into a PDF and be like, this is the Annihilation Special Report, you know, where you'll learn how to, you know, win all the games ever and beat all your friends. Finally, in terms of just like little detail stuff, really pay attention, especially in your headlines, to copy, you know, just good copy. Test headlines, you know, exposed, you know, whatever, you know, discovered, you know, like all the, you know, just how to, like, I mean, really do take some time to test headlines. There's lots of stuff. I mean,
you're going to be around all afternoon.
What's that?
You're going to be all around most of the afternoon?
Yeah, I'll be around all afternoon.
All right, so and, if you have specific eBay questions, come see Mike or Andrew.
What's that? Yeah, that's about it. So,
thank you. Here's all right, we're going to go promotion offline, and we're going to cover this up to telemarketing and then take a quick break. All right, so there's, you know, we just covered online promotion. There's lots of ways offline too that a lot of us are missing the boat on when we're not, you know, we're not spending enough time, resources, and so on. If there's, remember way back yesterday, which seems like 50 years ago, on my spreadsheet, you got a bonus score for if there's offline media available. So space advertising, we can do lead generating. There's space advertising, direct mail, fax and voice broadcast, telemarketing, and teleseminars. We'll talk about those. Lead generating, one step, and then some ad negotiation tips. So lead generation in your manual. Okay. So page 793, this is an example, and then 794. This is an example of a full-page lead generation ad that I had. This is actually a fax broadcast, and it was still good. But it's the exact same thing. This is the same ad that we ran as a full-page ad. This is for our doctor kit, selling in the doctor journals, running it. And what we did is we had people go to an 800 number, and the 800 number is simply a script that said, hi, this is Yannick Silver, blah, blah, blah. You know, thank you for your interest in blah, blah, blah. And it's basically reiterated what was in the ad. And it said, if you'd like to get a free report, leave your name and information here. There's a little info here on using that 800 number hotline strategy if you want to use that. So 795 has all of that. CJ is asking, I got the phone number and the website. That was more recent when we did the website and the phone number. I don't remember what we had. I'm pretty sure for the doctors it was way more phone. Now I know other info marketers have seen that, you know, dramatically go all web, and I think it depends on your marketplace. So here's $7.99, a couple more ads just so you can see just some of the variety of them. 800 is another ad. 801 is a important doc for you guys. This is an insertion order that I used with the magazines when I was ordering ad space. And you know, there's a couple really important questions. Yeah, Todd, let me get you Mike. George was saying that if I ever tried moving the 800 number up, it's buried. I've never tried. So I really wanted really highly motivated leads, and that was just a way of, yeah, or at least partially through it or skimmed it or something. I've never tried it up front. I mean, I guess it's definitely worth a shot to see if it can bring me qualified ads or not. Todd?
Yeah, can you talk a little bit about the process after you generate a lead via the toll-free number? In other words, who goes in and gets the lead, and how does the report get mailed out to them and the follow-up and so on?
Sure. Well, what we did, it was we used, I forgot what voicemail service it is, ATG, I think, originally, and now I'd recommend Automated Marketing Solutions. They're pretty good. And the way it worked, I mean, this is going back, way back, and the way it worked originally was I'd call up, so we didn't have very many leads, and I'd call up and I would just, you know, listen to them and transcribe them myself. Then we got a little bit more sophisticated. They could email it to us, and like we never went through a ton of reports, and so I was always, it was kind of like cottage industry. I had I had like my retiree next door to me who was doing my envelopes for me. It's just all handwritten envelopes where she was doing. I'd give her a list of the names. And then I had a little piece of software originally, which was Mail Order, Order Desk Pro, which is the old Bill Myers software. And I customized it so it gave me an alarm like every, day one, they got report number one. Then it was like at day 10, they got report number two. Then it was day 17, they got report number three followed up. And you know, so now we've got a little bit more sophisticated, and Larry would be a much better guy that knows about the operations now. Larry Brown, he's not here, but what we do is it gets captured into, we use ManagePro CRM as our software for this business, and that's really good if you're going to do a lot of offline and online, though I don't recommend them for email deliverability. But so they get captured in there. They can do, I think they can get captured inside via the, either the 800 number can interact with the software and it automatically gets put in there, and then it gets set into a sequence, and it's all somewhat automatic, and then he'll pull out the reports every day of who gets what report, and he handles that. I don't know if that helps you any. Insertion order. So this is important. There's some really good stuff when you're negotiating with ad reps. Realize that ad space is very flexible. You never, ever want to pay rate card for whatever you're advertising. And the same goes for online, too. I haven't bought that much online advertising. But the same goes for it. And, Drew Kossoff had a lot of great tips at the last Underground. But for offline stuff, you know, it's you got the sales rep wants to make the sale. And you need to ask them some important questions to get them down. Automatically, you're going to get what's called an in-house agency discount, which is 15%. And you let them know right off the top, hey, we're an in-house agency, which, you know, used to be more important than it is now, I think. It used to be, you know, really hard to get in-house agency status, and you have to have your different letterhead and possibly be recognized by different groups, and it's not like that now. So you should automatically get a 15% off the top. Then some other questions you want to ask is like, you know, what's your best mail order rate? What's your best test rate? You know, what's the best rate you can give me for multiple inserts? But then you never run multiple inserts unless it works. And you really got to hammer to them the fact that you know to the penny how much, you know, these ads produce because you're a direct response marketer. Some of them will they immediately drop their rates if you say, hi, I'm a mail order advertiser. They get mail orders. Some of them do anyway. I had a tougher time in the niche publications because they weren't getting mail order advertisers and so on. They weren't really used to this. But I was able to negotiate down a fair amount. I don't know what this is here. So we got some discounts, and then we also got the 15% off. So we got 25% off, essentially, or 10 plus 15. And you know, the other important stuff on this insertion order is also, okay, after you've negotiated your rate, then you go back and you're like, I can only have my ad appear on pages 3, 5, 7, 9, 11, whatever the first few right-hand side pages are. Those are really important because otherwise, Ted Nichols has done a ton of testing with space advertising. This is where I learned a lot of this from. And left-hand side did not pull anywhere near as good as the right-hand side. Because that's just the way we read in Western civilization. I bet if you're advertising, I guess, in an Israeli magazine, you'd want the left-hand side. I don't know. Yeah, well, so you definitely want the right-hand side. And now I've had situations where they don't run it in the spot. It's like, okay, in the insertion order, this is like a contract. So they ran in page like 62. I'm like, yo, hey, Bill, we got a problem. You know, my ad ran on page 62. You know, look at the insertion order I just sent you. Or I sent you last month or 2 months ago. And he says, oh, yeah. I was like, and what you asked for is called a full make good, which means that they run your ad again for free. It's awesome.
Did you create the form, or is that there?
That's mine, which I copied from someone else, I'm sure. It's a full make good, yeah. So that's just some of the stuff you want to think about when you're negotiating. Now here's some copies of the report sent out to the docs, 802. These are the old reports. That was report number one. Like I told you guys, like I was saying, telling Todd, and then 10 days later they got, the only thing that changed was the cover. So 810 was the second notice, and then 811 was the third and final notice. And we had an order form in there that was stamped with a deadline. And I found that really, really important. Let's see, I think I got some. All right, so go forward one page, 813. Here's some cool examples of these are one-step ads. So you can do, on top of lead generating, we're only trying to get people to raise their hands, you can do full-step ads for info products. So this is one of my favorites. This has a great cartoon with it, how to make your computer as easy to use as your telephone. Good headline. Which, by the way, I'm not 100% certain, but I have it on good source that they're only business. They're essentially using this to build a mailing list, which then they go out and rent the mailing list, and that's how they make a lot of their money. 814, you know, another interesting one-step ad for diabetes stuff. Here's 815. This was in National Enquirer, I believe. So obviously it worked. I've seen it appear a couple times. 816 is another semi-full page ad. This might have been a three-quarter page ad. 817 is another ad at the top. Is Win at Slots. This is a really interesting one. 818, this is Matt Fury's ad that, I don't know where this one appeared, but he did really interesting, and John Carlton was the first person that I saw that really did this, where they're doing multiple pages. So if you're running a three-page ad, it's going to have to appear at least on one right-hand side page. And, you know, it's a full copy on three pages. It's pretty crazy, pretty intense, and I know it makes Matt a lot of money. What is this one? Yeah, this is a direct mail example. All right, so let's go back now. So page 812. The other interesting thing you can try in negotiating space is I've seen people have good success where they either send via mail or they fax something. They send via mail, they sent a check, and they say, okay, well, this is as much as I can afford to pay along with a pre-done ad in different sizes. And they say, okay, run this ad and cash this check. And it's a lot harder for them to return a check than it is to negotiate sometimes. Someone had their hand. Yeah, Todd, they have the mic. Yeah.
Who does the layout, the graphical layout and whatnot for an ad like this?
Well, I mean, the ones that I've done are so amazing that these are my own graphical layout skills at work. Now, you know, you can have anybody do it. Larry, for the doctor business, he has an artist that's a freelance artist that fixes up what I do, but then they show it to me because really the graphics should only enhance the copy, is my feelings on it. And the copy is the major selling point. Yeah.
Is that on? Okay. Yep. We've been in this business a long time. Be really careful when you hire outside designers, because a lot of them are frustrated artists and they want to make it real nice. If you want it to sell hard, simple is better. And beat them down on it, because they'll try to over-fancify
it. Yeah, the designers will definitely.
And then one other thing, too, that's worth testing. A long copy always sells, but a lot of times in newspapers, especially if they're niche publications, if you want to drive them to a web page, take your same budget and break it into smaller ads where you can hit on different headline approaches and things like that.
Interesting,
and,
yeah, good.
That's a good way to
And it's
to
just
test.
Driving them straight to the web as a lead generator?
Yeah, so for example, in some, like Investors Business Daily, where we used to run a lot, we'd take eighth page ads and instead break them down into like 4 16th page ads, and then just have different headlines, very brief copy, and drive them to different pages.
Cool, very cool. And was it a forced opt-in page, or was it just a sales letter page?
We'd vary it.
Excellent. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of, the great thing about buying advertising, either online or offline, is that once you got it figured out, it becomes a predictable formula for the most part, that we're investing $100, we're getting back $120. And, you know, if you get more sophisticated in the info marketing business, sometimes you even are happy if you invest $100 and get back $80, because you know you got that next product down the road, right into your big oil derrick, where our funnel, you know, like Clifford's talking about 20% will buy his $500 product. So he's got, you know, he knows the numbers, so he can afford to lose money on whatever that product was.
Multiple insertions, and if you have more than one web address, try that sometimes too to see if it'll drive it to it.
Yeah, very good. I mean, I've not done enough offline space advertising as I should. I've just been pretty lazy once the internet started working for me. So it's a lot of you guys here in the room have more experience in that. But there's a ton of opportunity out there to find places to advertise. You want to go to srds.com or in your local library has that standard rate in data services. Let's see, what else about space advertising? Is there anyone else have some interesting stories that they've done with it? Yeah, we're going to get to direct mail in just one sec here. All right, so here's direct mail, same deal. You could do lead generating. It could be either a full letter to lead generate, or it could be a postcard to lead generate, or a whole one-step program. And then there's the endorsement, where somebody else is sending out a direct mail piece for you, almost like an endorsed emailing. So I'll show you a couple quick examples, and then we'll get some other feedback. Here is 821. This is a one step that I did actually cold to an ophthalmologist selling a LASIK patient attraction toolkit, which did fairly well. I think it was like a 3 or 4 to 1 return on investment. Page 827, this is an example of an endorsement type direct mail. This is that surgical company, A to Z Surgical, and they dealt pretty much exclusively with hair restoration docs. And so you can see here, I got them to send out a mail piece and also as a package insert, I think, with their outgoing packages. And it says, introducing an exclusive special offer for A to Z customers. And then I circled over here at the bottom left, you know, A to Z customers again. And 828 talks about your relationship with A to Z and so on. So you want to make it a special deal for them. I remember that did fairly well. I do a lot, or not a lot, but a good amount of direct mail, I guess, to my customers. And I don't do that much cold direct mail anymore. I never did that much cold direct mail. It's just, for me, it was just harder to make work. And I bet some of you guys in the room have made that work. I like the easier way. They already got a relationship with me, so I'm sending them out a direct mail piece. And I'm segmenting my list. I had our programmer build this thing, so it's not part of our regular shopping cart system, but I could go in and I could pull out people if they bought this product and didn't buy this product. If they've, you know, so if we want to do a promo for that particular product, if they've spent over X amount of money. So with direct mail to customers especially, it's really important to just the standard direct mail stuff that you get. Some of you are probably real familiar with our RFM, which is recency, frequency, and monetary value. And these were all the things that I looked for when deciding who to mail direct mail packages out to, and also how much to spend. Like, there's an A-list of customers that spend a lot of money, and I could afford to send out a FedEx or something like that, or some cooler, lumpier mail. Like, we've done, like we did the bank bag mailing for those resale rights over like a 10-to-1 return. I had it built custom. It's just a custom thing that I had built that my programmer was able to integrate with our shopping carts. Because nobody else, I think the ManagePro CRM will let you do a lot of that. That's a good offline, online piece of software. But yeah, I had it built custom so that it extracted the data from the shopping cart and let me pull out that info. That's good info to know. And so recency, so I want the people who bought most recently, that's really important. Because believe it or not, it's kind of counterintuitive, but if somebody buys yesterday, that means they're still really hot on whatever subject you're selling. Frequency, a 2-time or 3-time customer is way more likely to buy from me than just a 1-time purchaser. And monetary value is if you've bought something for $20 from me versus $1,000, you're a better customer. So all those things were thank you, CJ. 5 is better than 1. Yeah. You guys walk away with that information.
What's the thinking on the 2-page or 2-column?
Oh, okay. Good question. Nothing. What's the thinking on the? I made it the 2-column versus 1-column. It was just really to make it fit a certain size. They wanted it to fit. I think it was like 8 pages or something like that. So it fit into that size. That was it. I've never done a test or seen a test with 2 columns in direct mail versus 1. 831 is a direct mail piece that I sent out. This is a follow-up piece to my customers. So if they bought something from me, they'll get a special $200. When we were promoting this, the copywriting course, they got a $200 discount. And a lot of just, you know, some real simple copy tweaks. All the stuff that you use for web copy, about 90% of it carries over. And what I do is like if something's yellow highlighted, I might make it underlined in a direct mail piece. Or we can use italics and we can use bolding and things like that where we can't really use italics that much on the web because it's hard to read. So it really just needs some very little cosmetic tweaks to it. And then we send out typically a whole full package. You can see here 838 would be an insert that goes along with it too. So that was a freestanding. The more pieces you typically have in a direct mail piece, it's actually usually better, the more stuff that falls out. So this is another insert that went in there. And this was just actually, if you look on the webpage, at the copywriting webpage, this is like one of the PSs down at the bottom, is this exact copy. And now we just made it a freestanding insert. Then we added that mug insert, page 840. This isn't that one, that part's in color actually. Then we had another insert, which was a lift note. And a lot of you have seen that where it's like, you know, open this only if you've decided not to order or something like that. Those work well. Then we have 843 is the direct mail order form. 844, it's really hard to see, but it's actually a stock photo of a guy bungee jumping. So you can do some fun stuff. Like when I was away in Australia and New Zealand, we sent out this postcard. The backside of the postcard's on page 845, and it talks about, hey, you can get this discount on the copywriting course, and you know, greetings from wild and wonderful New Zealand. Yep, I took the plunge off the highest bungee spot in New Zealand, over 440 feet, and before all the blood rushed to my head, I knew I had to remind you about the best deal I've put together on my ultimate at-home internet copywriting workshop. And so, you know, it gives them a link to go there. So it's not a one step, but it's a two step. And then page 846 is a postcard lead generator.
Now that you have a continuity program, are you going to go back and modify your order form to have a forced continuity in them, like the way Dan does with everything?
I probably should. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff I should be doing, but I, like everyone else, I don't have enough time to get to everything. But yeah, it'd be smart to do a forced continuity on there, and we'll talk about forced continuity this afternoon for sure. Yeah, it's really good.
I do mostly to current clients. I really don't, I'm not like big on going into the SRDS,
right,
and working with a list broker or anything, which I'd like to get into, but I, you know, I just don't. The main thing is, you know, if you have friends or family helping you out with the business, and especially when you're doing these direct mails, you know, just you know, don't let them get in your head, you know, especially when you're doing these kind of crazy type, you know, packages and fillers. Because, I mean, they're going to tell you there's no way that's going to work. Nobody's going to read that. Who in the world is going to read it? You know, 8-page letter about, you know, whatever. And
no, but a long copy doesn't work.
Right. I mean, you know, and so that's going to happen all the time. The other thing is, for me, I've always found, and I know, I mean, there's people that say, you know, the copy outside or whatever. I kind of just like, you know, plain looking packaging, you know, envelopes and things like that.
These are your own customers, but is there any indication that it's coming from you?
No. They're my customers, but it's just a, you know, handwritten, you know, their name, my name. That's it.
Your name is on there.
I'm sorry?
Your name is on there on the return.
Yeah. They know from prior emails, okay, for Fernando. So they already know that. But, I tend not to put copy outside.
So teaser copy. Is there a system like this? Wait, when somebody buys, do they automatically get a direct mail piece, or is it just every once in a while you got a promo going?
I go with the RFM. It's got to be, you know, good clients, depending how long. Usually what will happen is once they've purchased the my second set of videos, then that's when I start doing the mailing for the higher programs, the coaching programs, the workshop. They're called congresses, and I think have you been to a congress, or have you been to a salsa congress, or
have I?
Yeah. So I mean, these are like big events, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 people in a wow. weekend. So that's what I'll do the mailing, but I won't usually do that until they get at least to the intermediate level.
I'll stay back here because I think I'd love to hear his comments on this. We mail to it is to a cold list, but it's a very specialized situation. So I want to see. In the real estate market, you know, when people have foreclosure, what happens is the notice gets published in the newspaper, and these people literally get bombarded with like letters. I mean, some of these people literally get 50 to 100 letters from guys like him and me trying to buy their house before the house goes into foreclosure. So what will happen is, for us to stand out, and you have to understand, these people are trying very hard to not be contacted because there's creditors calling them and everything. So we have to figure out how to stand out. So what we do is we mail out basically lumpy mail pieces. We'll start out with the first one, you know, I can't remember the exact sequence. It's like, like a lifesaver, you know. So we have a letter and we have a lifesaver. We tape it at the top. We have a return address, which is kind of like one of those labels you know, you could buy for like a couple, you know, like a roll of 500 for a couple bucks. And we have actually somebody personally handwriting every letter. You know, you could buy the signature fonts or whatever, but there is a difference in our industry because they can actually see the indentation, you know, when somebody's hand addressing it. In Georgia, the foreclosure it's very short, so we don't have enough time to do a 5-step. We have a 5-step direct mail sequence, but we only have time to do 4. But in the first step, we'll mail out maybe 500 letters, and it's not uncommon for us to get maybe a 5-6% response rate. And by the fourth step in the sequence, we'll mail them like maybe a keychain. We'll mail them, I can't remember what else we mailed, but the last one's like a plastic bottle. And by that time, we'll get maybe a 12-15% response rate. So, I mean, do you do anything like that with your stuff?
Oh, yeah. So the lifesaver letter is mine. The one with the lifesaver letter on the top? Yeah. No.
You're a Rhino World.
Yeah. Yeah, we were doing that. No, so, yeah, it's the same concept. You know, we get the list. It comes out of the courthouse. So, you know, all my students are trained to really be creative and you know, when you visit a property for the first time, how can you position yourself against the other 50 letters that are being mailed to these people, because these people just get hammered. So it goes back to the lumpy mail. And what we found is that you want to hit them with different approaches. One is a very personal approach. You want to send like wedding invitation looking things, birthday invitation, thank you letters, those types that are handwritten. People are going to respond to that, and we've tested it where we have a very official approach where we're mailing them a 9x12 envelope with a UPS box that's down by the courthouse, so it looks like it's coming down from the courthouse or something, and they're like, this is coming from the courthouse or this is coming from an attorney, and it's that impact that gets them to open it, and they respond to the official approach as well. We've also tested just giving a local number versus an 800 number, saying, you know, free recorded message versus they think they're going to talk to a live person. We've noticed an increase in response, you know, so it's like it was really 50-50. So I think the important thing is to have two different approaches with that type of list that we're talking about.